you're going to get on the whole show. We talk about aliens. We talk about missed coffee, lost coffee, sports. Just a good time in general. I mean, it's just a, it's always fun. It's a good time. If you want to get involved in the conversation, First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. You can text KFK to that number as well. Big story of the day. We didn't get to this one yet, Colfax. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Big Ben Roethlisberger is officially back with the Pittsburgh Steelers for the 2021 NFL season. They announced a new contract for the QB this or earlier today, I should say. Big Ben said, "It's my greatest honor to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and give my all for this organization. I am grateful to be at this stage in my career and more than happy to adjust my contract in a way that best helps the team address other players who are so vital to our success. I love this game and I love to compete, and I believe in this team and my ability to deliver when called upon. It all starts with great preparation, and I'm ready to go." I thought Roethlisberger was done. I thought honestly, the last 3 years, I thought Big Ben was going to call it quits at the end of every season. He was under contract for the 2021 season. The team made it clear that he would not return with the $41.2 million salary, $41.2 million salary cap hit. So I don't know what exactly the adjustment looks like. The Steelers said, "We're excited that we were able to come to an agreement with Ben Roethlisberger on a new contract for him to return to the Steelers in 2021. We know that Ben can still play at a high level and do special things," General Manager Kevin Colbert said about Big Ben. "Our goal remains the same, to put together a roster that will compete for another championship. We're happy that Ben will be one of our leaders to help us accomplish that goal." Roethlisberger just turned 39 this week. He threw for 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions last year. Man, I tell you, Big Ben's one of those guys. Tough conversation as far as Hall of Fame and everything, but if he wins another one or goes deep, then I think, yeah. I don't know. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He's been one of the top 5, I would say top 5 quarterbacks pretty much since he joined the league. Maybe fading a little bit over the years, but was he the best? I mean, I always, you know, one of the things I've always said was he a top 5 in his position for most of his career? And I would say, for the most part, yeah, you're going to go Big Ben stat-wise, you know, just winning-wise, you're going to say he's top 5. I mean, that's getting tough now, though. You know, in this day and age, he's not, right? I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes, and we're going to say Deshaun Watson, yeah, top 5. Tom Brady's still in the top 5. Aaron Rodgers is top 5. What, Russell Wilson? You got those guys. So it's hard to put Big Ben in that mix as far as top 5 goes. And then you have other guys that are storming onto the scene. I mean, where do you want to put Lamar Jackson? I know he's more of the runner, and people like to say he's a glorified running back, but he's got to be close. After the year that Baker Mayfield had, he could be approaching that next year. Dak Prescott, if he can get back on the field, where will he stand? So, no, Big Ben's not top 5 anymore, but I would say through most of his career, he was a top 5 quarterback. So, I like watching Ben play. He's a big, tough quarterback. I like watching unique quarterbacks, and he's unique. He's not running around all over the place, but he can move, and he's, you know, it's getting harder for him now, but always difficult to bring down. Steelers were rolling this year. I mean, what, they got to 11-0, and they just kind of hit a brick wall. They weren't playing the best teams in the league, and never really got it right after that. I mean, they were undefeated for most of a good chunk of the season anyway, and hit that wall. So I'll be curious to see where the Steelers end up next year, if they can come back, reload that thing, and figure out what went wrong. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Von Miller continues to be a big discussion. What will the Broncos do with the J.J. Watt news coming out this week? You know, J.J. Watt, I don't know if we're going to do this argument of who would you take, because we did that as a poll question once, J.J. Watt or Von Miller. If you say J.J. Watt, I don't think that Von's that far from Watt. If you say Von Miller, I don't think J.J. Watt's that far from Von. So, I mean, it's a very close argument. Therefore, shouldn't the salary be something that's pretty close? Both are coming off. Both have had quite a few injuries. J.J. Watt, especially. Vaughn had the 2 seasons And they were spread apart, so it's kind of unfair to say Vaughn's been plagued by injuries, because his first big-time injury that took him out when he tore his ACL, he was very young. I mean, that was before Denver went on their Super Bowl run. I mean, that was like his second year in the league. J.J. Watt has been kind of in that injury-prone category. But nonetheless, he signs the he gets the $15.5 million for the next a year for the what the next 2 years with Arizona. So that does mean that Vaughn's probably going to command the same thing. Now, our Broncos insider Zach Stevens told us on Monday, or no, he's been telling us since we've had him on, that he believes the Broncos would try to get Vaughn from what 17.5, is that what it would count against the books, or 18, all the way down to 11, almost cutting that in half, not quite, but getting close to it. And clearly, that's not going to be the case. Vaughn is not going to go below or much below what J.J. Watt just did. So is that a significant enough cut for the Broncos to go from 17 and a half, or from 18 mil to 15 mil? I mean, it's $3 million. You look at their cap space, they have, what, $46 million in cap space, and that's... that's a good chunk of change. If they move on from Vaughn, well, you just add $18 million to that. Now you got a lot of room to do some things. You know, I'm reading Kyle Rudolph, tight end. Would that be a guy the Broncos give a call to? Strengthen up that tight end position. Richard Sherman is a name. Lavonte David is a big name. Of course, a stud linebacker for Tampa Bay. And I think we are all kind of thinking that one or two of those linebackers, Shaq Barrett and Lavonte David, are both going to be free, or both free agents. Can Tampa Bay afford both with what they're trying to do? I mean, that is crucial to the Buccaneers, by the way. As much as I love Tom Brady and what that offense did, I based all my picks with Tampa Bay this year, which I picked the Bucs to go to the Super Bowl and beat the Chiefs. You're welcome. I think that so much of what made that defense great, listen, they were aggressive, their corners were aggressive, their safeties were aggressive. I love their D-line, pushing guys around. But I feel like the linebackers are that core of that defense. They're the best linebackers in the game collectively as far as a group goes. So, yeah, they're going to try to keep that group together, but I don't know that Lavonte David's going to take a pay cut. I don't know that he's, or not a pay cut, I think he's going to go for what he's worth. And if I'm Denver, I'm making that phone call. I'm trying to get Lavonte David in Denver. I'm trying to lock up my safeties with Justin Simmons. And I do think, yeah, I'm going to spend my money on my safeties. I'm going to spend the money there. You got the team option coming up for Kareem Jackson. But are you going to pay, what is he, $11 million? And then Justin Simmons is going to be around $14, $15 million. So, I mean, we're getting pretty expensive there on the safeties. But you could have the best safety unit in the NFL. And you're going to have money still to go after Lavonte David. Trust me, I want to put money on the defense. I want to put money there. If not going after a big name like Lavonte David is not going to happen because they lock up Vaughn, then I say move on. But can you do both? If you lock, cap space is at $46 million right now. If you sign Justin Simmons, you're taking $15 million off of that. So, I mean, we're just going to do simple dollars and cents, right? $14 million, I'm just guessing. So now you're down to $32 million to play with. How much do you need for rookie contracts? Do you need $10 million for that? So what's Lavonte David worth? You know, I mean, that's the question. That's the name I keep going back to. That's a big need for Denver. So if you were able to go out and get a top linebacker like Lavonte David, then you feel even better about drafting a cornerback with number 9. Suddenly, this defense could be really good, man. So you think about linebackers and what they're paid. What would Lavonte David command? I mean, C.J. Mosley signed with the Jets last year for $17 million. Shaq Barrett signed the 15. Bobby Wagner signed 18. So, okay, so is Lavonte David in that mix? Is he a 17? Is he a $16 million kind of guy? And if that's the case, let's just say 15, 16, whatever. All right, now you got $17 million to play with. And your other big decisions are Shelby Harris, which It's not going to be a huge trade, but now you're starting to get close to it. See, if you're wanting to keep $10 million or whatever that is, $5-10 million for rookie contracts, probably closer to 10. Well, now you got 7 to play with, but you just went out and got a huge free agent name in Lavonte David. Are you done? Because again, keeping that. So if you don't work out a deal with Kareem Jackson and you don't pick up his option, well, that frees up another $11 million. So now you're back up to 28. If you don't work out with Von Miller, you shave off 18. So it's hard to say, you know, like I can say, hey, as a fan, I want to see Von Miller play for the Broncos. I want to see him retire. But when you start teasing me with they could go realistically and get a Lavonte David if they give him a little bit more than everybody else. And in order to do that and keep Kareem Jackson and keep Justin Simmons, you know, if I have to pick between picking up Kareem's option and even talking about signing a long-term deal and Von Miller, I'm going Kareem Jackson. Halfway through the season, he was, to me, one of the best defensive players in the NFL. Now, kind of, you know, everything kind of faded toward the end with Denver. I think that's just how it goes, especially when you're on a losing team. I just look at the situation and I say, if I could have my cake and eat it too, I'm going to work this deal out. I'm going to sign Justin Simmons, number one priority. I'm going to reach out to Lavonte David, knowing that I got to still take care of Shelby Harris. I'd like to keep Shelby Harris with this team. You know, how much is he going to command? Not much, right? I mean, he's not a top defensive end. So, you know, you're going to give him pretty low, probably about what he did last year. Not a lot. So, I mean, in a perfect world, all right, locking up Justin Simmons. I lock up Shelby Harris for $3 million, $5 million. It's not going to be a lot. It's not going to be a huge amount. I mean, I can't remember exactly what his contract was last year, but listen, not a lot of free agents were slamming down teams were slamming down the door for him. He's not going to be one of the high-paid D ends. I mean, he's not. He's not even close. He's not Garrett-type material. He's not that guy. But he's a guy that can push offensive linemen around, create some havoc up front. So you lock up Harris. I would move to keep that option, pick up that option on Kareem Jackson with the hopes of getting a new deal done. Then you got your safeties locked up. I don't know if it makes sense with Vaughn when you start placing it out, when you start looking at it like that. And again, if you want to go after one marquee free agent, and then, well, we haven't even talked about offense yet. If you want to go after one marquee free agent, and assuming Lavonte David would want to come to Denver, but I mean, you know, defensive players, Lavonte, if he wants to win championships, Colfax, he's going to stay right where he is. He's going to stay in Tampa Bay. So all this argument of, okay, well, no, he's going to go where he can win. He's already there. He's already tweeted. Somebody said Lavonte David's willing to take a pay cut. He retweeted that and said, where'd you get that information? Because he's not. And you got a ton of guys you got to pay. I mean, just with Tampa Bay. I mean, they have some interesting guys. I mean, Chris Godwin, probably the number two free agent on the list, and according to CBS.com, CBSSports.com, 5 years, $22 million average for Godwin. That's a big chunk. So if you lock him up, and then you still have Shaq Barrett to worry about, you still have a couple of guys on that defense you got to worry about. Lavonte David, what would he be worth? Is he gonna be a $15 million guy? I think I'd love to see this team get aggressive and go after him. I hear Richard Sherman's name out there, too. Yeah, I mean, I'd be all right with that. I still want to draft number 9, knowing that I think Sherman said he's going to play for 2 more years and he's going to be done. But I, you know, at this, I guess I'd be okay with that if the price was fair. But if that's going to deter you from taking Patrick Surtain at number 9, then don't. But I mean, think about that, man. You get Justin Simmons, you get Kareem Jackson. Lock them up. Shelby Harris you bring back. Not a Pro Bowler, but a fine player. You get Lavonte David to come to Denver. All right, now you got two of the best safeties in the NFL, one of the better inside linebackers in the NFL. Bradley Chubb, you're still hoping that he can live up to that number 5. He's a Pro Bowler. You got Bryce Callahan. You like his shutdown corner ability. You draft a corner at number 9. Suddenly you got a rookie, Michael Ojemudia from last year. He gets a little bit better. And then you draft a line, another linebacker in the second round. With or without Von Miller, you might feel good. Maybe you go draft a pass rusher. I still think there's a way they can do all of it. It's going to cost some money. Like I said, $46 million. You get Justin locked up. You pick up your option, which is already showing in the books for Kareem Jackson and Von Miller. It's already showing when we're talking about 46. It's already showing in the books. Get Shelby for another $5 million. Now you're 27 with 10 still left to play with. You've taken care of your defense. You go out and you spend $15 million on Lavonte David. Okay, you got 12 left. You haven't done anything to really strengthen the offense. If you do get Vaughn to take some kind of a pay cut, $3-5 million, all right, you're back up to $16 million left. 16, 17, depending. So you still have something. But then that eliminates the possibility of Deshaun Watson, of absorbing that contract. So, yeah, 21 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll catch up with Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is up. Go to thewholeshow.com. Do you like the NBA's new play-in format for seeds 7, 8, 9, and 10? I'm going to ask Chris what he thinks. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. 63% of the hooligans say yes. All right, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Chris Dempsey talking Nuggets with us next.
Party, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
One more game left for the Nuggets before the All-Star break. Get a chance to see Nikola Jokic start in that All-Star game, too. So pretty exciting. Joining us now, talk about those Denver Nuggets, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, Nuggets, man, the last couple of games, and I know the NBA's like this. You see a couple of games where you're scared. Then you see three-game winning streak and you're feeling really good. But if Joker and MPJ can start to work together like I saw the last couple of games, man, look out. The Nuggets are hopeful that Murray, MPJ, and Joker turn into that big three.
Yeah, and that's just really contingent upon Michael Porter Jr. being consistent with the production that he's put on the court here in the last few games. So, yeah, you're right. I think the time with the starters back in the starting lineup has obviously, you know, he's starting to have that comfort level with the other guys again. The question was put to me on one of the telecasts if I thought that that starting him at the four is the reason why he is playing so well. And I don't necessarily think the position is the thing with him. I just think diversifying his offensive game has been a big deal. I think getting more minutes on the court with Joker and Jamal and understanding where his shots are coming from and when he can be aggressive and how he can be aggressive within the framework of the offense alongside those two. I think that has been a big deal. I think Jamal and Joker's willingness to get MPJ kind of help him along in this has been a big deal too. So we'll see. I mean, what we're all hoping for is that it becomes that big three, but you know we'll have to see more from Michael Porter Jr. before we can say, okay, yeah, they are operating at a big three status.
Chris, I think we've all been. I find myself sometimes because I think Porter's just such an interesting study in the NBA. I find myself just watching him sometimes on certain plays to see the body language, to see how engaged he is on both defense and offense. There was a time in that, I believe it was the Milwaukee game, maybe it was the Chicago game. He's dribbling down, he's by himself, and there's two defenders in front of him, and it looks like he's going to pull up and just take the shot. And I'm thinking, no. He leaves his feet, quickly looks to his left, and just kind of does a little handoff. Is this something where you're starting to see it in Porter's head going, all right, I have to make the smart basketball plays here rather than just trying to be a hero?
Yes, and you know, for him, that'll be a little bit of an evolution, right? So because he it comes from a space in his basketball life where he's been pretty well the main option, or the offense runs through him in some way, form, or fashion. And so, you know, he hasn't had to work for much of it in terms of, you know, in terms of work to get the ball or work within the framework of an offense or work alongside players who are just as talented as he is. You know, there's not a lot of experience in that. And, you know, it's always an adjustment for scorers or guys who have been the man on every other level or on every other team to come to a space where now you're in a space where you're not the man, you're one of the men. And, you know, in particular with the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic is an MVP candidate. I mean, you're not going to get better than that on a basketball team. So you're not necessarily the best player on the team. You have to work within an offense that isn't, you know, iso ball. It's a lot of movement. It's a lot of cutting. It's a lot of, you know, all that kind of stuff. And for, you know, a player like Michael Porter to have to get used to that, it'll take a little bit of time. But I think the good thing is that he's determined to do so. And also that the offense and the players around him recognize the talent that he is. And so they are also working hard to make sure he gets the ball so that he can be effective, because they understand that at the end of the day, when he is scoring and is a dangerous player on the floor, makes the Nuggets more dangerous team as a collective. And so I think everybody is working together to get him into the space that they need him to be.
Jamal Murray's been another guy, too. I mean, early in the season, we're talking, okay, can Jamal get to a more of a consistent scorer where he's always in that plus 20 spot? Well, he's been doing that the last several games, and that's been huge to watch. Chris, I follow Jamal on Twitter, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like Jamal's kind of, I don't want to say lightening up a little bit, but it just seems like he's having more fun lately. I'm seeing the tweets. He's taking ownership of mistakes, even though I don't think they were his fault. But it looks like he's lightening up and having a little more fun. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think as he gets older, there's times in our lives where we, whatever it is that we're doing, we think is like the most important thing in the world. And, you know, for him, you know, I think he's starting to reach a space in his life where he understands that, yeah, he's one of the faces of the franchise of the Denver Nuggets, and that is important. But maybe it's not always the most important thing, and maybe it's not so serious all the time that it's not heavy all the time. And yeah. At the end of the day, it's still basketball. He's a young man playing a fun sport on a good team. You got all these things when you step back and look at it and go, you know, what do I have to complain about? You know, we're going to be good. When you know you're working hard, when you know you're putting in the time and the effort and the mental effort as well, and you know that you're helping your teammates get better as well, then you can exist in a different kind of a space. If you're on one side, you know that you're really not giving it your all, and you know you're just maybe 70% of what you should be doing on a daily basis. It makes things a little bit more heavy, and then the losses feel a little bit worse because I think on the inside you understand. Well, geez, it really does start with me. I'm not working hard. Our team may not be as good as we thought. You know, all those kinds of things. I think it's heavier. And so for Jamal Murray, even if they're going through, let's say, 3 losses in 4 games or something like that, we've seen them kind of roller coaster up and down this season. I think he understands in his head at the end of the day that the Nuggets are a really good basketball team and that he expects them to be good by the end of the season, and especially as they continue to get their individual injured players back. And so right now it's about, you know, kind of keeping things afloat, winning as much as you possibly can, and this has been a great road trip for them in that respect. And so I think as he ages, he understands that he puts things in their proper perspective, and that's what I think we're starting to see from him, especially in social media and how he interacts with the conventional media.
Chris, who's the other guy as far as MVP caliber next to Joker? Who's that next guy? Because Joel Embiid has been a monster lately. Who would you say is that number one threat to take the MVP away from Joker?
And league wide?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Joel Embiid. I mean, he's he's having just a monster.
It's ridiculous.
Season.
It seems like he's getting better as the year goes, too.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he's just unstoppable. And the thing that you continue to hear when you hear the comparisons between Jokic and Joel Embiid nationally, the thing that you hear the most is, well, Joel Embiid is so much better defensive player that puts him over the top over Nikola Jokic. And the perception that Nikola is a average to bad defensive player, I think right now does him a disservice, because I don't think that's where he is. I think he's a good defensive player. He's not as good as Joel Embiid. That's a fact. But then maybe only a handful of players in this league are as good a defensive player as Joel is. But to say that Nikola is a liability on defense, I think is false. It's just not true. I mean, he's a much better defensive player, and he's has a much better impact on that end of the court that he's had over the course of his career. But Joel Embiid has been pretty fantastic. Also, LeBron James. When LeBron at the end of last year says, "I want my damn respect," and everybody is looking at Giannis like, well, he was the MVP, but he couldn't even get out of the second round of the playoffs, and maybe it should have gone to LeBron James. And so I think we're getting a lot of sentimental LeBron James stuff happening out there as well. And so you get these three. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at in my email, one of the sports books had odds roll through. Joel Embiid had risen to the favorite to win the MVP. LeBron was second and Nikola was third. So I think these are the three players that we're going to probably be looking at over the course of the entire season. And just if we're just going on numbers, though, the numbers that Nikola and Embiid are putting up are much better, or they're better than what LeBron's putting up. So it'll be interesting to see, though. There's a lot of factors that go into that, and as the Nuggets win, I think we'll see Nikola's name get more prominent.
Well, and it's interesting. I think for guys like us, Chris, that watch Nikola, especially you watching so closely with Joker, we all kind of have an idea of what it would take for him to win the MVP this year. But I mean, let's face it, the national scene, I mean, LeBron's obviously right there, Joel Embiid. Look at where the 76ers are in the standings. What does the Joker have to do? Not to show us that he could win this thing, but what does he have to do in the nationwide, NBA-wide, to earn the MVP award? Does it come down to where the Nuggets are in the standings?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, his numbers are MVP numbers. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. I mean, he's collecting triple doubles as if they're easy to get, and we all know that they're not. The Nuggets win 80% of the time. He gets a triple double. This really will have to do with the one loss record at the end of the season. And I think if the Nuggets end up with a better record, or even a similar record, and let's just call it either side a game, maybe two, either side of Philadelphia, that would have to me skew in the Nuggets' favor, because they play in the Western Conference, and the Western Conference on a nightly basis is much tougher than the Eastern Conference. And if you're putting up those numbers and your team is winning to that level, then I'm just going to take you, the best player, and I'm going to take you and put you up above Joel Embiid in that respect. Because while the Philadelphia 76ers have been really, obviously, good, Doc Rivers has done a great job with that team. In the Eastern Conference, there's more substandard competition than there is in the West. And numbers might be easier to come by on a more consistent basis than it would be in a conference where it's just a dogfight, every single night in that conference. So we'll see. The Nuggets are 20-15, and they have a chance to be 21-15 and end the first half of the season on a 4-game win streak. That'd be great. It's too bad that they won't be able to get Nikola all the rest that he certainly has deserved over the All-Star break, but. Then we'll see what they have in the second half.
Yeah, no, a big second half push. And it kind of goes to my final question for you, Chris, today. Our poll question, we're asking if fans like the new, obviously new in the bubble, but the new play-in format in the NBA. I find myself kind of intrigued by it. At first, I was like, this is gimmicky. I don't know if I like it. It gives like four or five more teams incentive to not tank and keep pushing to the end of the season. So I'm kind of with it. How about you?
Yeah, I'm torn. I love it and I hate it. Because I love it because I love the tournament style. I love.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I think it's fun to be able to, okay, now let's just mad dash this with a tournament to get in. However, I hate it because the season is, well, this year it's 72 games, but it will be 82 games. 72 or 82 games for a reason. And if you go through 72 games and you have worked hard and you have earned a spot in the top eight, why should you lose that to a team that's
true.
Ninth or tenth? You know, that's the thing that's difficult for me to reconcile. If we were doing a 50 game season and now we're just doing a tournament to get in, okay, because you know weird things happen in short amount of times, but the length of an NBA season really does separate the teams who are worthy of getting in the playoffs, to those who are not. And like, I felt bad for Memphis last year, even though it was fun watching the play-in games. I felt bad for Memphis because prior to the bubble, you know, Memphis was fantastic, and they had earned their right to be getting into the playoffs. They were real shaky when play resumed and the bubble started, but they were still an ace, and they couldn't hold on to that spot. And it would would be a bitter pill to swallow, especially for young teams that are looking for that first real taste of playoffs, and they've worked hard and they've gotten to that space. But entertainment wise, it's fabulous. There's no doubt about it. And I just don't know how the NBA. I think at the end of the day, I think it might go away because I think coaches will say, you know, jobs are on the line here, and if we worked hard and got to this space, now we lost it in one game scenario. And now it just looks like we're never making the playoffs. That's on the GM. I mean, think of how the narrative changes over the course, you know, just in that because of one game. You're either in the playoffs and it's like, okay, our team is up and coming. We love our young talent. We love our new coach. Our GM is doing great things, to now you're not in the playoffs. And maybe that extends a 7-year streak where you've never been in the playoffs. And now it gets really sour and coaches get fired and players get traded and GMs get fired and it just is. So I am torn on it just because of that aspect. But it certainly is entertaining, and I know that the NBA certainly cares about its entertainment value.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, when you're in the regular, you know, the best of seven format, you can lose a game. You can lose two, and it's not the end of the world because this is what it is. It's adjustments. It's within that series that you have to try to come back in it. But this is a one game. You could have a lousy night. You could have an injury. And I'm with you, too. It's very interesting to me, but you're right. There's earning 7 and 8 really doesn't mean you're a playoff team anymore. So that's something that'll be unique to see how it progresses. Chris, what time does coverage get started for you guys tonight with the Nuggets Pacers?
Well, yeah, so 5 o'clock would be Nuggets courtside of the pregame show. I'll be on that. Just an hour of everything you're going to need to know about the Nuggets and fun stuff too, and the Pacers. We'll get into them a little bit more. It's an interesting basketball team. So 5 o'clock on Altitude Sports, and then all the requisite social media stuff that we do as well. So we got you covered.
All right, my friend. Always love it. Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you.
All right, Colfax, I'm seeing this. Zach Stevens sharing this moments ago. George Payton saying that they want to bring Von Miller back. Also asked about how would they be involved in the Deshaun Watson situation, and he said he wants to be involved in everything. He wants to be aggressive in everything. It's not a no, I guess. Let's see. 42 minutes after the hour, Colfax. We got Thursday Night Special coming up next. Let's get to the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thursday.
Hey, you know, Colfax, I could listen to that all day long, Thursday. But as usual, we're crunched for time here. It's when you know it's a great Thursday. Thursday night special tonight. I'm not getting cute. I'm not getting crazy here. This is an interesting one, though. I was a little scared at this one. Nuggets Pacers tonight. There's one part of me that thinks, okay, the Nuggets could be phoning it in, just get to the All-Star break, and just whatever. But I think Denver, they're looking at it. They don't want to finish seventh, and it starts now. You got to climb up in the standings. Get this W, then take it easy. I see the Nuggets going all out. They're a 4.5-point favorite. I like them to win and cover the spread.
Hold on to your butt.
It's upside down.
Take that L on the way.
We've got a car upside down.
I like it.
In the fourth quarter.
I like it. Is that Wingy?
And the
line. Yeah.
Chanting MVP.
Mars.
Listen to it.
Mars.
I've never heard that in this building.
Scotty.
Beautiful. Murray back to Jokic. And another dunk.
MVP, baby. Put him in it.
Why do bees have sticky hair?
I don't know.
Because they use honeycombs. Honeycombs? What's honeycombs? Where are cars mostly likely to get a flat tire? At a fork in the road.
Oh, man. Hey. No respect. No respect. Man, that is classic. I could listen to Joker do some stand-up. What do you think, Colfax?
I'd love to see it.
I'd pay money. I'd pay good money to see that. I like Denver to win this one. I like them to cover the 4.5 spread against the Pacers tonight. All right, we'll take a quick break, wrap it up the show with closing thoughts and what's on TV, what's on KFKA tonight. We'll be right back.
Keep up with your favorite high school basketball teams with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Fifty-three minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us here. I have time to get to a text here. Flying Dutchman. He thinks Lavonte David's going to be around $20 million. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking 15, but we'll see. I mean, he's a Super Bowl champ. He's got to be one of the top linebackers in the game. With Denver's ownership situation, would you come here if you were Watson? Me personally, no. If you just got out of this Houston situation because you think the ownership situation was bad, the management was bad, are you in a hurry to sign with a place that doesn't have an owner? Because new ownership could come in and change everything. They could change. I mean, they seriously could. You could have an owner like you could have an owner like Jerry Jones that comes in and wants more control. You absolutely could. It doesn't guarantee George Payton. It doesn't guarantee anything. So no, with that situation, and you wanting out of Houston because of that situation, because you don't like the way that the ownership and management has ran that organization. So no, I don't think so. But apparently, Denver's on his list, according to what we're hearing out there. Closing thoughts for today: CSU got screwed. I know San Diego State would have won those games against New Mexico, but this is why they play the game. So the Rams got screwed. Go take it out on Nevada. Go win another game in the Mountain West tournament. Go win the whole damn tournament. Leave zero doubt and just go ahead and get in to the go ahead and go dancing this year. That'd be pretty sweet. Scary thing is, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, can you keep Nico Medved? That's the scary thing that we haven't even touched today. We'll get to that tomorrow. What's on tonight? Denver, Indiana tonight, 6 o'clock on the road. I like Denver to win that. I like them to cover the spread. CU in their last regular season game. They can finish no worse than fourth in the Pac-12. They play host to Arizona State. That game's at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. UNC taking on Weber State tonight. Coverage here starts at 6:30, 7 o'clock tip-off for the Bears. Should be a lot of fun, man. Some great basketball going on tonight. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.